Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Are you drained, bursting with energy? It's at this level because maybe you don't have enough boundaries, less social in the winter. There can be many reasons. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
We are now joined by the head football coach of the ACC-bound SMU Mustangs. Rhett Lashley joins us with Craig Smoke, Paul Catalina, and David Smoke on 365 Sports. It's great to have you on again. Rhett, thanks for your time. I don't think anyone ever answers all of the questions or checks all the boxes, no matter what time or how long you have your spring or game or whatever. But how much would you say you did get accomplished and you know more now than you did maybe a month and a half ago?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Always good to be with you. I think the number one box we checked is we didn't have any serious season-ending injuries. And, as a coach in the spring, that's what you're always most concerned about, because you at least want to start the fall as healthy as you can. I think spring's changed a lot. I mean, you're still trying to evaluate guys, and we are. We're still trying to get better, but with the transfer portal always looming and just so many other variables out there, I don't know. Everyone's probably got a different take on it. And I think coaches are all trying to figure out the best use of it. I saw some spring games that didn't even play spring games. They just did a bunch of, crazy stuff. And so, and I get why, because you're wanting to keep people healthy. You're wanting to keep them happy and bought into what you're doing. And look, at the end of the day, if you start, putting depth charts together and people don't think they have a chance to compete, they're going to leave. Yep. And so, I think we got to accomplish what we need to. I think we got a healthy culture, a healthy team. We'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks. So far, I think we're in a good place with our team, but we're trying to keep our core team together and get to the summer.
Do you feel like this is different now that we've been through a couple of years of this with the transfer portal and the two windows and all of that that's going on?
It is. It changes every year. I mean, what's different this year is, the first year there wasn't a window. And then we got two windows. But now we're the only one of the sports that actually has two windows. Everyone else has one window. So we have to do it in December and we have to do it now. Whereas, men's basketball is doing it right now, but it's one window. And it's a big window, but it's still one window. And so you're juggling that. And then what's new in the last year is, it's not like used to be you got one-time transfer. Now you got as many transfers as you want. I mean, you got guys that are transferring in December to schools that are now transferring again now. And, I think guys deserve the freedom to go where they want to go and to capitalize on NIL and all that. But there's got to be some rules and structure. It's not best for the kids. And so that's the challenges that you're dealing with now. And so as coaches, you're just kind of this week and next week kind of holding your breath a little bit, trying to be around your own roster, hoping that come May 1st, you have a better idea who's going to be on your team this year.
Coach, what was, with all that in play and focusing on your base and now this big move in conferences, what was sort of the theme of the spring for the Mustangs? Was it a matter of needing to do a couple of things in particular better, incorporating some newness? Where did you sort of look for the theme of what you wanted to get done this spring?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, in terms of just the spring, you know, we talked about, you know, a couple things. You know, one, we talked about, you know, spring is for development, so everybody needed to get better at their craft. For us, spring, well, we did have transfers come in. We had guys leave, so this is a new team, and we were a really close group last year, but this is a new team. So the second part is just, you know, having a togetherness, a continuity, getting to know each other, competing with each other in practice and even off the field, just developing that connection a real team has. And the third thing is we wanted to become a tough team, and not just physically tough. We were a tough team last year, but you know, where we're going, we got to be a mentally tough team. We got to embrace doing hard things, because for us to win, we're going to have to play well, and we're going to get games in the fourth quarter, and we have to find ways to win and be comfortable in close games, be comfortable in tight situations late in the game, and that's a mental toughness component. So for just the spring, that was kind of what we went with, you know, going in and coming out of spring. I think we had a good spring in that regard.
By the way, the ACC is right there on the horizon. I heard what Andy Enfield said about being interested in the job because of the ACC. Yep. And comes from USC to SMU. You were already there. I mean, you experienced the transition and the change and all of a sudden locked in. How much can you put words into what that has meant across the board to the campus, to everybody at SMU, and especially in athletics?
I don't know if I can put words, but I'll try. I mean, it's been massive. It's been a game changer for us. You know, I think the easiest thing you can do is today, and it's a long way from signing day, but we have a top 20 recruiting class in the country. We've never had a top 20 recruiting class ever, you know? And so the caliber of players that are now, you know, everybody always thought highly of SMU and Dallas, and a lot of guys in the Metroplex wanted to stay home, but they also wanted to compete on the highest level. And we weren't in that arena. And now we are. And now they know they can come here, and Florida State's coming to town, and the next year Miami's coming to town, and so on and so forth. And I think that has just really changed everything from a recruiting standpoint for athletics, excitement. It also is probably helping us with guys not transferring out, right? And so then from a school standpoint, you can't measure it. I mean, our peers are now the North Carolinas, the Virginias, the Virginia Techs, the Wake Forest, the Dukes, the Florida States, the Clemsons. And our president walks into rooms with presidents from those schools. Our AD does. Our faculty is associated with that. And we all know, because of what we do, that the way football and basketball specifically, but athletics carries the banner for a school in terms of branding and just the exposure that you give your school. So while this gets talked about a lot as an athletics move, it was a massive move for our university to just be on a bigger stage nationally where we think we belong.
We're talking to Rhett Lashley. He's the head football coach of the SMU Mustangs with us on 365 Sports.
Coach, I saw that your season ticket sales have exploded as well, 50% over last year already, and it's only April right now. Given it, that's just pure excitement from the fans there too, that they've bought into this move.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's a lot. I think they announced today, like you said, the 50%. I mean, they sold more tickets now, the most ever before a season, and it's just April. And so hopefully that continues to climb between now and August. And we got 7 home games. You look, we have a stretch where we play BYU, TCU, Florida State 3 weeks in a row at home at Ford Stadium. So, I mean, I think just, you know, and then in November, you know, you got Boston College, you've got Pitt, and you've got Cal coming into town. So I just think it just has generated a different buzz with our alumni base, obviously, but even in the city and in the community. And then we're moving into a brand new facility in August. And so, you know, the Gary Weber End Zone Complex will be open. We got a brand new home, but then also just great game day, kind of, you know, premium seating situation. So there's just a lot of momentum and a lot of excitement. And so, you know, we got to go deliver.
Rhett, you played at Arkansas. You also coached at Arkansas. Back when you were much younger, not much younger, but when you were early on in your career. Sorry about that.
It was much younger, yeah, for sure.
For a guy like my age saying that. Auburn twice, then Miami. So you've been around what you would consider autonomy or Power Five programs. How much of that experience can you use now?
I think a ton, you know, from, you know, knowing what the players go through at that level to obviously being at Auburn and on that stage, it was a big stage. But even at Miami just 2 years ago, which is in the league we're heading into, it definitely helps. And we got a lot of staff members that have, and it helps us, you know, understand what we need to be able to compete with the schedule we have, you know, not just on a one-game basis, but week in, week out. And I think that'll help. And I think, You know, another thing that'll help not only us using that to try to help our players out and our team out, but, you know, in the transfer world, we got a lot of guys who have been in those leagues that have now come here. And so that'll give them some confidence that, you know, there's not as much unknown maybe as there would have been before the transfer portal.
How much have you seen your out-of-state high school recruiting maybe uptick on this as well?
Yeah, a lot. I mean, you know, whether it's, you know, Southern California has always been an area that a lot of students come to SMU. So you might get a few guys out of there. But now you look at the East Coast, whether it's, you know, Atlanta and in the state of Georgia, a lot of players will leave Atlanta or South Florida. And so, you know, we're not going to get away from our base. I mean, we're in Dallas. We got the best recruiting base in the Metroplex in the state of Texas. But, you know, we're going to play half our games that way every year. And so, or at least three or four. And so I think that that definitely helps us. More from a national stage, try to have a bigger pool to pull from.
Do you have to, and don't take this wrong, please don't, but do you have to be aware of the attrition of playing the schedule you're about to play?
No, I'm not taking it wrong at all. You're right on, 100%. And that's okay. The thing. Like, we've proven over the last 5 years, you know, we've beaten TCU. We went to Oklahoma and played well, and Maryland and Michigan. And, like, so we've been on those stages. Our guys know they can compete on those stages and even win on those stages. But it's a big difference, as we know, that have done it from playing two or three of those games a year and then playing 10 in a row. And so from depth, you know, could be physically just from injuries or just the physical, especially in the trenches, just the wear and tear of a season. That's going to be, I think, the biggest adjustment that we're doing all we can to prepare for. But sometimes it takes a few recruiting cycles to get there. You know, I do know this. It's a leap year, so everybody has two bye weeks. Well, because of our scheduling with Vanderbilt leaving late and we ended up picking up Nevada, we're playing week zero. So believe it or not, we got three bye weeks. Huh. So we actually never play more than three games in a row if you look at our schedule. And so normally I would hate that. But actually this year I think that's really good for us because we'll play three games to get a week to recover, three games a week to recover. And that may help us that last half of the season, you know, especially this first year.
Have you talked to other coaches who made that transition from group of five to an NCAA, what, again, the FBS highest level, and how they handled that? Like, I know that, like, for example, Gary Patterson in TCU initially had pretty good success. He's now at Baylor. But have you picked the brain of others who've dealt with that?
I have. I picked the brain of some, and there's some I haven't got to yet that I'm going to be blowing their phone up here in about a month. You know, you look at, you know, obviously Gus Malzahn I'm close with. He just made the jump last year, so that was an easy one. I do know Gary, and I've talked to Gary because you're right. I think a guy like Gary, and then look at Kyle Whittingham out at Utah. They made the jump, and they didn't just make the jump and show up. They made the jump, and they started competing for championships. And so, you know, you try to learn what they did that maybe worked. You try to maybe learn what they wish they would have done. And I think experience and that wisdom is something that I'm trying to draw on from others as much as we can.
How much of that sunburn is from going to Augusta National with your sons? And had you ever been there before?
Why you got to call me out with a sunburn?
Someone told me
I looked tan today. Yeah. I took that as a compliment. You call it a sunburn.
It might be the lighting.
It's probably the lighting. Yeah.
How much of that incredible good-looking sunburn that now is a tan came from that time at Augusta National with your sons? I saw your tweet about that.
Yeah, it a lot of it. You know, I had been before. I've been fortunate to go once many years ago with my dad. And then my time at Auburn, we were close. And we got to go a few times. But I hadn't been in a while. And my boys had obviously never been. And it just was a late impromptu deal. We went on Friday, actually. And it was a neat, I mean, look, if you're at Augusta, like my kids halfway through the day go, Dad, everybody's really nice here. And I'm like, yeah, we're at Augusta. We're at heaven on earth. Nobody's in a bad mood,
exactly,
you know,
right.
Except the golfers. But, you know, it was really, really cool, one, to be there, but to just get to share something like that with your boys. And we don't get to do that a lot, just us. We got their sisters and mom a lot. And so it was a really neat experience to share with them.
Can you try to describe, like, the first time I went, the undulations, like below number 9 green or anything, quite frankly, how a ski slope from the tee box to number 10 green and what that is like?
I can, actually. Believe it or not, I got to play it once.
No!
And so, back in about 2016, we had a member who was a big Auburn supporter who took us up there and a couple weeks afterwards. And I can. I was they had actually the Sunday pin placement on number 2, and I was about 10 feet above the hole. And I think I blew on it, and it went 10 feet past the hole. So And when the grandstands and that stuff's not out there, you can see the undulations even more. And it's just, it's like putting on glass, and it just makes you respect and appreciate those guys' ability even more, because I mean, it is unbelievable. If you're miss in the wrong spot or you're on the wrong side, you can forget about it.
Yep.
Number three is the one that stands out the most. That number three green is as narrow as you could, is your desk you're sitting at.
There's no advantage whether you blow it up towards the bottom of it, at the bottom of the hill, or if you're 150 back. I mean, there's just no way. It's like a 5-foot area. You got to hit it based on the pin placements.
100%.
Preston Stone, my last question for you. Preston Stone has been out. Kevin Jennings has been running the show. What did you see there?
Well, I think, you know, on one hand, it was great for Kevin. You know, we saw what he did when he came in and helped us win the championship game. I actually think he played well in our bowl game. We just didn't play well. And then he had all spring to get all those reps. And I just think, as good as Kevin has been in his first 2 years when he's been in, he's still only been in a handful of games. And so that was big for him to get all the first team reps with all those guys. And Kevin's a I mean, he's getting better now, and we're excited about his future and him wanting to be here. And then, you know, Preston did get cleared last week. And so, you know, he'll be full strength now as we go into summer workouts and fall camp. And so I think having two guys that are, you know, in my opinion, championship level caliber quarterbacks, you know, is huge for our team as we make this move into the ACC.
Thank you very much, Rhett. We appreciate your time. I'm glad you enjoyed Augusta. That tan looks fantastic. And appreciate you when you come on with us. We really do. Have a great day.
Yeah. Always appreciate y'all having me on. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Rhett Lashley, head coach at SMU.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.